Look at the notes, please. Lightning and thunder are terrifying things. Have you ever been caught in one of these terrifying storms? I was attracted by this news cutting in the Straits Times. April 30 this year, it is reported that 4 people went out playing golf. At the end of the day, 2 of them had been killed by lightning. About 5 p.m., as they sheltered from a storm with 2 other golfers and 4 caddies, that is the boys that carry the clubs. The 6 survivors suffered severe burns. The lightning bolt hit a nearby tree and passed through the metal shoe spikes of the 2 men, one aged 81, the other 57, killing them instantly. The rain was very heavy, and the lightning was extraordinary. The reporter calls it like a war zone, and the tree was about 1.5 meters away from the shelter, and the bark of the tree trunk was ripped off. This is an account of a natural phenomenon, something which we witness from time to time. And you may say, well, bad luck, going to play golf and then ending up in the mortuary. So there is a quote here from Ecclesiastes. A casual comment on such a bad luck, that you may call it. So it says here, time and chance happens to them all. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time. In an evil time, going as always, as usual, to play a round of golf, and then on that day, that's the end of it. So it says, so are the sons of men snared. When it followed upon them suddenly, like birds caught in a trap, in the snare. Is that so? The purpose of tonight's talk is to ask ourselves, in a Christian's life, is there a difference? Does God protect us in some special way? Does God always protect us? This is the question. And should we always pray that God will see us safely through, as we always do for most of us? We go off in the morning to work with a prayer, Lord, be with me and keep me safe going out, coming in. Will God hear that prayer? I say, most times, yes, but sometimes no. What is the answer? Look at the last paragraph on the front page. Beyond this casual comment of time and chance, I want to say, dear friends, we have to see beyond chance, that there is purpose in our life. Everything that happens in our life, God has a purpose. Do you know that? Are you trusting Him? For the psalmist tells us, and this is the preacher in Ecclesiastes, he says to everything there is a season, a time to be born, a time to die, that even our lives are shaped in heaven. Time in heaven. When the time comes to die, yet there is no way you can even postpone that event for 1 minute. So man's struggle to prolong life under the sun is but part of travail, which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Travail. Oh, what a description of our life on earth indeed. As Moses says, the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is that strength labor and sorrow. So here, Solomon calls it travail. Travail which God gives to the Son of Man to be exercised in it. This whole life is a struggle. Wherein is our security? I used to love to sail boats. Not that I know very much about sailing. But that love brought me to the Changi Sailing Club one day. When I left university, my friend told me, his name is Dr. Orr. He says, now you have more time. I said, yes, I have more time. Would you like to come and sail with me? I said, yes, no, don't mind. So one day he took me to the Changi Yacht Club and he showed me how to sail, and it's not too difficult. He says, this boat is quite good. Firstly, it's unsinkable. I think that was the best thing, because that day I capsized. Then he says, you do this, you do this, you do this. Okay, and very soon we were both sailing along. Like an expert, of course, like a fool. Then as I sailed, you know, the Changi Yacht Club is on this side of Singapore. Then there's a straits, and then above to the north is Johor. And there is an island off the Changi Yacht Club called Pulau Ubin. If you know your geography, or if you've been there, then you know what I'm talking about. So you look to the north, that is Pulau Ubin. And then beyond there is Johor. As I sailed, somehow I lost sight of Dr. Orr. He disappeared. And I felt quite happy as I sailed along, and so I saw dark clouds gathering. Now, to experienced sailors, dark clouds means thunderstorm coming. Those clouds are formed when there is a great deal of evaporation of water. It goes up. As you know, hot air and the water vapor rises up, and they began to form great dark clouds. This kind of formation is called the cumulus cloud. I didn't think very much of it as a novice and as a completely greenhorn. I thought it's okay, I just sailed that way, because the wind was picking up quite fast. As I sailed along, I noticed, hey, why are the people all sailing this way? I'm going that way. They all come this way. I said, that's pretty good. You leave all the sea for me to sail. Very soon they all came back, and I was finding myself going straight into that black cloud. And before I realized anything, thunder and lightning let loose, like all hell as black broke loose. And I came under that big cloud, the rain came down. Of course, by then, whatever sailing skill which I had, which was nothing, I could not manage the boat, and the boat capsized, upside down. The kind of lightning and thunder I've never, ever experienced before, and neither do I want to experience it again. Because the lightning came thick and fast. I could not imagine it. And as I floated on the sea, I said, what to do? I asked him, what will you do? The boat is upturned. And good thing, because the mast, as you can see, the mast is 18 feet. The boat is 16 feet. So it got the mast 18 feet going down. If the mast had been up there, it would have been a good lightning conductor. And that would be the best way to zap me and I'll be gone. So I climbed on top of the boat, of the upturned boat, and I tell you, I did nothing but pray. When the rain was coming down thick and fast, I could not see the end of the boat from the other end. It was that thick, you just could not see. It was like buckets of water, and lightning thunder went bang, 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 back and forth. I said, Lord, please save me. I said, Lord, I promise you, I'll serve you better. What's the use of a dead man tomorrow? And the newspaper says, well-known gynecologist electrocuted in the streets of Johor. I say, Lord, that is no good. I sort of bargain. I tell you that I just cannot understand how I escaped all those lightnings which were right back, left and right and center, and thunder and water. God heard me. Then the rain cleared up, and suddenly from nowhere, Dr. Orr appeared. Hey, what happened to you? I said, you know what happened to me? Of course, here I am, first time out with you. So they helped me. As I said, that boat is unsinkable. So with their help, it turned up, and I climbed on the boat, and off we went sailing. First and last experience. Then, for tonight, I began to do a bit of research so that we can all understand how lightning comes about. It is said to be the result of accumulation of a great deal of water vapor and positive charges of electricity. Those of you who do physics and electricity, you know better than I do how these charges gather in the clouds called positive charges. And when there are enough of charges and the power is so great, then it must find an outlet to reach some negative charge area. And when that those two areas come together, zap, the lightning will go down. All right. This is the one that I experienced. Big clouds overhead, and the lightning is cloud to earth. Right? But what I did not know is most of the lightnings do not come down cloud to earth. Only cloud to cloud. That's okay. You can have any amount of lightnings cloud to cloud. They can hit each other, no problem. But when it comes down to earth, that is where the trouble begins. So I asked my friend, find me some data about lightning. And she was very good. She went onto the internet. Here it is. You know, if you touch a live wire, you are liable to die at home. If you change a bulb, don't put your finger into the socket, because 220 volts is enough to zap you to death, like that. And heart arrest is the thing that happens with that kind of a shock. I don't know about 110, that is the one they do use in America, but for Australia, for most of the rest of the world, we use 220. UK, Singapore, Malaya, all use 220 volts, right? All of you know that it's 220 volts. And that one, I say, be careful. When you handle electrical things with wet hands, be careful. Don't. Dry your hands, because water is a good conductor of electricity. And if you handle it, you get a shock. Now, for industrial electricity, it can go up to 20,000 volts. That is. But in most cases, you see, when you touch those things today, there is a protective, what we call, circuit breaker. So when you touch something and you get shock, immediately the circuit breaker goes down and cuts off, and that is life-saving. But I'm afraid there's no life-saving circuit breaker for lightning. When it comes and zap down, you can get as much as 100 million volts. Zoop. And the heart stops, the lungs stop, and you stop. The temperature of a lightning stroke can go up as much as 60,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, I don't know how it can be, but that's what the internet tells me. Now, who are the targets of lightning? Remember, lightning comes down very fast and it looks for open spaces. Not that there is anything particularly wrong about playing football, but just because the footballers are in open spaces. So, I think about 2 years ago, a very good Chinese footballer was hit and instantly he died on the football field. The ones I've mentioned are golfers. Apparently, golfers must not wear metal studded shoes. If you play golf, do not wear shoes that got metal, because that is a conductor of electricity, and those two, the other two who survived, they did not have metal studs in their shoes, they were only rubber, and they survived. These other two had metal, and they died. Again, this is because they are in the open air, and susceptible, exposed, and lightning goes zing, bang. So canoeists, joggers, unprotected, what must we do? Those who jog, cycle, when there is a rainstorm, quickly get to a dry, covered area, as far as you can away from the storm. This one was curious, went to a window to observe the thunderstorm, and the lightning saw him and zip, got him. Another one was just opening the fridge door, and somehow the lightning went right in and shot that person. One was going to the ATM outlet, and as it touched the thing, lightning came down. Some was using a cell phone. I say any phone. If there is a thunderstorm with lightning, don't use your phone. All right, so much for lightning. Please turn with me, and we are going to learn from God's word what kind of protection that God gives to his people. Does God protect us? I say yes. God protects us, for we know that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Please understand, we are not everlasting in this flesh. Someday we have to go. But as long as God wills, that's number one. As long as God has work for you to do, number two, he will protect you and see you through, that you will not be hurt or harmed in any way. Psalm 91 has got many good lessons for us. And I want to share this with you and take this with you wherever you go, so that your faith is strengthened, so that you know God who saved your soul is also interested in protecting your body. Is he able? Verse 1 of Psalm 91. Please follow. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Will you please remember this? Every day, before you go out of the doors, before you do anything, commit yourself, body, soul, and spirit to the Lord. He is interested. And he's able. I always remember my grandfather. He says, grandson, I tell you a story. When the great earthquake came to South China about 1922, it is so terrifying. I was in the house. This was the house of God. It was a wooden house, thatch and wooden, like atap. A flimsy building. What did I do? I knelt down just where I was in the house and said, God save me, and kept on praying, while the great earthquake went on. When all the quaking and the dust had settled, he opened his eyes and stood up. And he says, you know what? This flimsy looking house stood still. Nothing moved. The house was intact. Then I went out on the right hand, concrete house, completely fell down. Went to the left, another one, concrete house, also fell down. Our God is able. You have to experience it to know it, But before you experience it, say, Lord, I believe. I believe you have an interest in me. If you send your son to die for my soul's salvation, will you not also see to my body's preservation? Please read with me verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers. This is the analogy, the example of a mother hen, for example, or any bird. We used to keep chickens living with my grandfather, and very wonderful. The mother hen may have 4 or 5 chickens. And whenever the hen sees an eagle on top, she'll make a kind of clucking noise, and all the chickens will come under her wings. And the mother hen will sit like this with the chickens safe and sound. This is a picture of God's interest in you. Inasmuch as you are a child of God, God is interested in your safety. And he is not just interested, not just concerned, but able. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. He's able to see that you are protected in ways you do not know. But you must trust. Verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Can it be? Oh, yes. Did God not protect David from the bear and the lion both times? From Goliath, the man with great armor and strength, God can protect you too. Verse 8. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, notice this, my refuge, make him your refuge, even as the Most High thy habitation. Verse 10, 11, and 12, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up. You say, what does it say here? Angels to bear you up? Can it be? I'm going to tell you a few stories very soon. Verse 12. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Amen. Now all this sounds very poetic, very wonderful, isn't it? It was about 1936 or 7 when I was in Batu Pahat. I must have been about 12 or 13 at that time. And whenever we come home from holidays, Father will set us to work. He can see things that I don't see. He says, you see the cobwebs there? Clean up the cobwebs in all that room. I say, of course, I'll do it. He says, you get a ladder. But the house has a very high ceiling, about 14 feet. So I got a ladder. And he says, you get a piece of rag with water and bucket. Of course. What Father says, you better do. I found a bucket. You know those old-fashioned buckets? Today, every bucket is plastic, right? Those days, I don't know what you call it, galvanized iron or something. It's metal. And it's got a beading around the top that's round, and then the handle. This bucket had no beading, all worn out. And the edge is very sharp and also rusty. I remember this very distinctly. I found it with a handle. I put the water in and I got a ladder and I went up to the top with a rag in my hand. I began to mop. Suddenly, I lost my balance and went backwards and fell down. You know what? I landed among the furniture. There's chairs and the cushions and the bucket of water. My head hit it and it overturned and all the water splashed on me. So there you are. I'm on the floor with a bucket over my head and all the water over my body. I pick myself up. I say, wow, this is terrible. What happened? Of course, you don't know what happened. When you overbalance, you just overbalance. You just go. Before you know anything, you are on the floor. I got up. I said, amazing. I hit the bucket with a metal edge that is all rusty and sharp. Nothing happened. All intact, but body wet. What does it say here? He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Do you believe in angels? Not a physical angel. Well, angels are not physical. But here is unseen hands, and I am sure of it. For my head had contacted that bucket, and it turned on me, and I suffered not a scratch. More falls. I have a habit of falling. We were preparing for Melbourne. Now, those were those days where you used to do missions with my wife. Preparing for missions, Qantas was leaving at 8 o'clock, and I was preparing to be there to leave at 5. About 4:30, I was packing the last few cartons of tracts and Bibles and so on, and I was in a hurry. I ran to get the raffia string to tie the thing, and as I ran towards, this is Andrew Road, you know, my old house. As I ran, my foot caught in the steps and I fell straight at a column, a concrete column. And this head here, you can examine my scar here, it's that long. It just hit the edge of that concrete column. Bang! Wow, I got up. We had two mates. The two mates were screaming and yelling and saying, oh, what happened? Because there was a gash that long and that big open, and the blood was pouring. And that was about 4:30, and we were going to fly at 8 o'clock. So I called out to my wife, said, what happened? I said, you look like this. So I quickly ran upstairs. She took a big piece of cottonwood and said, put it on. Okay. I said, what to do? I said, okay, I called my clinic doctors. I got four other doctors. I could dial the clinic 4:30. Everybody gone home. What to do? I remembered Dr. Cheng in, not W.C. Cheng, but another Cheng, living at Thompson Medical Center above there. I said, Dr. Cheng, I got a cut on my forehead. Can you help me? Oh, yes, come to Thompson Medical Center. So my driver drove me there. And he says, you lie down. 5 stitches. They put a big plaster. And by that time, it was 5:30. We drove off to Changi, caught the plane. I was the hero that night. The whole cabin looked at, wow, this man with big plaster on his head. What's happening? I said, well, I fell down. Went to Sydney, did God's work. Amazing. Again, normally, if you have that kind of fall against a blunt surface, it might have fractured the head, you know. But I tell you, it hit the sharp edge of the column and it just cut it, and 5 stitches, I was back to normal. So that's fall number 2. You think God is helping? What do you think? Good luck? Can you have good falls that get you always at the right place you can stitch up? Next fall. In Andrew Road, I have declared war on the lizards. So my pastime is to kill lizards. I don't allow any lizard in my house. One night, there was a poor lizard up there in the kitchen. And I climb on the on the top of the kitchen counter. Right. So I went there hammering the lizard. I got the lizard. When I came down, there was an old stool. You know, the old stool with the flimsy plywood seat. I just walked into that seat thinking it will hold my weight. But my whole foot went through that plywood, the thin plywood, went right through, and I fell down. I tell you, there's nothing strange about a fall, but for this one, it's extraordinary. The counter opposite that I fell against had a sharp 4-micron edge. It's a real sharp. And when I fell, it was in grace like this. I just fell on the side of it. And again, I got up. Not a scratch, not a hurt anywhere. Although my foot went right through that stool, I stood up intact. God has his angel. I'll read this to you again. It says, verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee. That's fall number 3. Now fall number 4. This was in Melbourne. Coming home. We were packing again to catch the aeroplane to come home. And I said, the sun looks beautiful. I'm going to take a few pictures of the garden. And there on the garden slope, there were two big rocks. So I put 1 foot on one rock, 1 foot on the other, and began to take pictures of the flowers. As I was doing this, suddenly the lower rock rolled down the slope. And before I could do anything, I was taking picture of the sky. When I landed on the chest. It was so shocking and so terrifying, I fell among the rocks. I gave a big howl. But that garden is down the slope, very far from the house. I called my wife. Of course, she can't hear me. After some time, I recovered my breath. I picked myself up. It's very painful. I crawl up the stairs up to the top and say, what happened? I say, I fell down. What happened? Okay, what to do? If packed, ready. Ready to go? Yes, ready. Come, take 2 Panadols. Take it. So we went. I got home Friday. Saturday, went to work. Saturday, went to Calvary Jaya in Petaling Jaya, KL, to preach. With these things, my wife says, why don't you go in there and do an extra? I said, never mind, lah. It's all right. Take 2 more Panadols. I went. Monday morning, she says, you better go in there and take an x-ray. I said, all right, lah. X-ray, 3 ribs broken. I say, quite good. I have a war record now. So anyhow, the doctor saw me. It was Elder Cheng. Elder Cheng says, ribs heal themselves. You don't have to worry. There's no operation, no surgery, nothing. What to do? Nothing. Just ribs heal themselves. That's why God took off the rib to make a woman. So, all these things, fall number 4. There's more, many more falls, but I won't tell you more. But 2 other funny things. No, 3. Have you ever fallen asleep driving a car? Have you ever tried that? Like to try it? My wife was in Sydney, and I finished preaching in Pandan. As usual, I said, oh, okay, I got to go home. I drove. And along the Pan Island Expressway, I fell asleep. Of course, you know, when you fall asleep, there's no warning. There is none at all. Before I realize it, I heard a big screech. And my car went like this. And I opened my eyes. Where was I? Pan Island Expressway. How about it? Good thing there was nobody near me in front or anybody behind, but the car went like this. I woke up, drove home, and called my wife. I said, I fell asleep. God is good. Let's fall asleep first time. Second time, it was in Melbourne again. We were driving. And in the afternoon, we were going to the hospital to visit an old member of the church. Suddenly, he said, Shama, what are you doing? You're driving onto the curb. I said, I'm sorry. You know, it's a terrible, terrible thing. What is the cure for this? I don't know, really. Those who drive more experienced than me I've driven up to now about 60 odd years. But the thing is, when you feel sleepy, don't drive. Pull to the side of the road in a safe place, switch off the engine, go to sleep there. Sleep 10 minutes and drive. Third time, all right. This was in Vancouver. Again on the Pan Islander, some kind of expressway. And we were going to visit another member of the church. And as we were driving, again, my wife was next to me. What are you doing? Straying into the next lane. You know, there are about five lanes. And I went right into the path of a tremendous truck. And she said, get out, wake up, wake up. My friends, all these funny stories are to tell you, while we drive, while we climb, while we do our things, there is an unseen hand of God. I want to finish this psalm with you. Verse 12. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Our God is able. I say, learn to put your trust in the unseen God. For he is able to save you from many a fall, from many a deadly accident. He is able to guide you and to prevent the deadly accident from taking your life. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall not trample under feet. Shall thou trample under feet? Why? Verse 14. Please look at this. This is tremendous. Because he has set his love upon you. Why does God protect you? I said a moment ago, as long as you are serving the Lord, as long as he got more work for you, he will keep you well. He will save you. Do you know, I've not been sick for something like 40 years, except the odd cold, which is very unusual and very seldom. And I ask myself, what is the matter? Answer, work for you to do. There are so many mission stations. How about you? I say, if God keeps you well, think. Lord, can I do something for you? Is there somewhere that I can go for you? Is there some mission I can go and encourage the people? Is there something I can do to repay my gospel debt? Think. God does not give you health just to enjoy yourself. I say he gives you health to ponder and think, God, why is it you give me good health? And while there is breath and there is strength to go, can I not go for you? For Jesus on earth has got no feet and hands but yours. Think of that. He has no feet but yours to go, for he has done his job. And his job is one, to come on earth, to be a man, to die for you and to pay the price and to shed his blood for all of us. That is his job. We can't do that job. He's done it. Now he says, you go. We are his hands and feet. He has preserved you, given you life, given you a brain that can think, a heart that can feel, and salvation so rich and free and full that you can have and enjoy. But let us not be unmindful or ungrateful. Because, verse 14, he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now back to the question I asked earlier on. Does this mean that every time you will be spared from every accident? Answer is no. We have this confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he will answer us according to his will. How do you know his will? Sometimes we don't know his will. God may have a will that I want this person home. It is said that you're like a flower in the garden and the gardener comes. And you are the choice flower today. Gardener picks you up. Our divine gardener sees you as a flower in the garden, and today he chooses you to pluck. Your life is called, you go home. God has a will and a mind and a timing and a purpose for you. 1965, the group from Life Church, maybe 40 or 50, were going to Cameron Highlands. Some of us went through this experience. All I experienced was a telephone call. After Bidor, they were resuming their drive up to Cameron Highlands. Just soon out of that village, disaster struck. One car, a Volkswagen, went head on with a lumber truck, and three people were killed on the spot. Now, you say, hey, did they not pray before they drove off? Answer is yes. Did they not trust the Lord? Answer is yes. Then why did they die? On the spot, Mrs. Timothy Toe, my brother's wife, the dead wife, and daughter Annie, and my auntie, the fourth uncle's wife, three of them on the spot were killed. What is the meaning of this? Meaning is, as I said, God has a higher will. God has a plan that we do not know. Why did my mother die at 54? You read in the papers, a mosquito killed a person in 5 days, bit somebody and in 5 days was dead. When mother was sick, she told my sister, a big mosquito bit me. Mosquito! Today the whole of Singapore is alarmed because of Aedes mosquito. Well, why did God take mother? Answer is very clear to me. 8 children, youngest 13. The rest were all well-formed and all well-grown. And elders, my sister was independent, already able to support the family. God looks down. Mother, you are overworked. You need a rest. 5 days of fever. In the morning of the 5th day, she felt really unwell. By early afternoon, she says, family, I'm going home tonight. They couldn't believe it. Why? We have been praying, God, to spare you, to save you, to heal you. Of course, God always heals. Until the last one, God will not heal. For if every time you pray, he heals, then we do not need to die, right? True, of course. So we have to understand, while we pray, it is always according to thy will. So I say, God has a will that is above, better than your will and me. Why wish that mother should live on? Of course, I could not get over this. I said to God, mother is only 54, and we need mother. But God prepared another mother, and we just buried this second mother last 2 weeks ago. God has a plan for all of us, but when he knows it is your time to go, he will call you in the way that is according to his will. Are you ready? But until then, I say every prayer you pray will be answered. Until then, until the last one when God says, time up. By that time, your prayer will be answered because you have prayed according to thy will, Lord. Please, every time. Please make me well according to your will. But as long as I'm well, help me to do your will. You remember that? God keeps us here for his will, but we must do it. Let us not be ungrateful or unthinking and indifferent to the great responsibility given to you and to me. You have a day of health, praise the Lord. May that day enable you to go out. You are the hands and feet for God. Go and do His will. Be a blessing to somebody. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank Thee for preserving my life. For Thou hast still work to be done. And to those of Thy people here tonight, that we will consider that only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Help us to understand and to obey and to go and make ourselves useful for Thee and a blessing to others. Oh Lord, may this night be the beginning of a new experience for us. We who have been preserved in life and health, send us forth to be a blessing to others. This is our prayer, Lord, with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.